Hello and welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon and to chapter 3 of the Song of Songs. I'm here with Katie.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great too. We're our heads are in the Song of Songs. We've been having good conversation.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, and we're finally at a short chapter. I
Yes, we
mean, should I
are.
say
Well,
finally?
maybe we shouldn't say
I know.
that
They'll be like, why is this episode 45 minutes long? We're like, oh
the
no. What we've learned is that we love to chat. But there's
Yes.
so much that it's hard to skip over things. They're
Yes.
just, yeah. And, if you've already been following along this series, you should know that we're really recommending that you take this chapter and spend the whole week on it, okay? We're just giving you as much info, insight. We're hoping that you can take little pieces each day. So if you want to listen to this 5-minute increments each day, you go for it. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, here we are at chapter 3, and it's kind of a sad chapter
Yeah, it is a little bit.
and a little bit confusing
Yes.
because what is happening?
But we're gonna
So
break it down
yeah,
for
heck
you.
yeah, we are. All right, let's read it first though. Let's go.
Okay. On my bed at night, I sought him, whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. Let me rise then and go about the city, through the streets and squares. Let me seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Him whom my soul loves, have you seen him? Hardly had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house, to the chamber of her who conceived me. I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not awaken or stir up love until it is ready. Who is this coming up from the desert, like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all kinds of exotic powders? See, it is the litter of Solomon. 60 valiant men surround it, of the valiant men of Israel.
All of them expert with the sword, skilled in battle, each with a sword at his side against the terrors of the night. King Solomon made himself an enclosed litter of wood from Lebanon. He made its columns of silver, its roof of gold, its seat of purple cloth, its interior lovingly fitted. Daughters of Jerusalem, go out and look upon King Solomon in the crown with which his mother has crowned him on the day of his marriage, on the day of the joy of his heart. Okay. Let's hit it. This sad chapter.
Sad. So where we left off last podcast is we were like, oh yes, we're confident that he's gonna come back whenever we call him, even though we knew what was coming
We
up.
led you guys on because he did not come
Because he
back.
doesn't come back,
And she's
and
sad and she's crying.
yes, and gosh, so Saint Teresa of Avila talks about this because she was saying she's in a prayer to the Lord, and she's like, Lord, I have to do all of these things in the world so then I can serve you. And then when I come to prayer, sometimes you're not there. And she was just like calling out in frustration to him of like, why are you not there sometimes?
Why do you
Like,
hide yourself?
why do you hide yourself when this is like my 5 minutes of prayer that
Right.
I have. And that is such a wrestle of the human heart when we feel like we can't find him, even though he's there.
And it's not just, I mean, yes, feel like, but it's not like, oh, Monica's being dramatic. It's like some of the great saints experienced
Yes.
this and they felt it, like the dark night of the soul, the desolation. Like it is
Yeah.
like not just in your head and not just your fault. It is just like God withdraws. He really does. And
Yes.
he allows you to not feel him.
And it's such a mystery
Yeah.
because he loves us so much.
So why would you do that?
And it's almost like he wants us to it he knows that it's going to grow us,
Yeah.
which is still doesn't make that much sense. I feel like
I
I'd grow more if you were here.
know, I'm like, wait. I have a growth plan and this is not on. I mean, you and I can go back and forth and be like, why? Like we don't
Yeah.
necessarily know why. We're not necessarily trying to solve that, except for I just think it's good to recognize that I guess the saints who've experienced it didn't get resentful over it.
Yes.
Somehow they accepted it. So they learned something that we do not get.
Yeah.
That this was God's will and they love him because of it and they love him through it. And yeah, I mean, of course, how could you not grow, I guess? Well, I guess either you grow bitter.
Yeah.
Or you grow faithful.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, Mother Teresa comes to mind as like the main example that I know of, like, you know, what is it, 40 years of desolation?
Yes.
40 years of saying on my bed at night, where is him who my soul loves? You know, where are you?
Yeah.
And I don't know, she must have had moments where she's like mad and frustrated, right? Like,
yeah.
But so I don't know. It is almost a mystery.
Because I was thinking about like how this song, sometimes what the bride says is so like, wow, you can say that to God.
Like, right?
Yeah.
How dare
like
you.
Saying like, I belong to you and like, you belong to me and all these things. And it's almost kind of like God is helping her realize in this moment, he is still God.
Hmm.
Like she can't actually hold him.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He is bigger.
He's bigger.
He's not graspable.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't control him.
Right.
Maybe that's something that God is trying to, like, when he, in those moments, is, like, let go of the control.
Yeah.
Like, you have still to trust. Show up to prayer.
Yeah.
Still show up and search for God.
Yeah.
Because that search is so worthy. And he's going to show up eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it here. It's not very long. It's not like we have, like, four chapters and then God, it's like,
right.
He shows up on verse four.
But man, those three verses are hard, dude.
Yeah. But something else that Cantata talked about was the parallel of this to Mary Magdalene at the tomb.
Okay, yes.
Because she goes and she seeks him and said, I saw him, but I did not find him.
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes and starts like asking everybody like, where's my Lord?
Yes,
where
like
have
the gardener.
You put him?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's interesting is she talks to the gardener. She's like, where's my Lord? Where have you laid him? And which is like this verse. And then the next verse in verse four says, hardly had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. So it's like, as the pursuit grows greater and the heartache grows greater, the Lord shows up. And in the cantata, it says she found him actually in her heart.
Yeah, inside her.
Inside her.
He was within and she just lost access. It's like the interior castle. He is in the seventh mansion. He's in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she was like looking, instead of like, so she's on her bed at night and she's like, where are you? And instead of like looking inside to find him in her heart, she's like, I must go do something.
Yeah, interesting.
And how often is us of like,
that's me.
Oh, you're not in my prayer time. I need to find something.
Something to add to my prayer. Something to feel better.
Something to feel better. I need to go read quotes from saints. I don't know, just something. And there's like, that's not bad in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, are we constantly looking outside to other resources to find God?
Yeah.
Or are we just letting ourselves like sit, be like, okay, I'm going to be faithful to my prayer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be faithful to what I feel like you've called me to do in this season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust that you're going to make yourself known.
Yeah, I really, okay, this is all stirring stuff in my heart because, like, I mean, part of the miniseries I did with McKenna a couple months ago was about, you know, when you're in a season of dry prayer, attempt to pivot, you know, don't just assume you're suddenly in the dark night, you know, on the first day that prayer gets dry and like try something else. Try reaching out for any resources you can. Try to see if it's, you know, are you hungry? Are you bored? Are you have no idea what to do. So have a plan, you know? So on one hand, I'm like, yes, but I think what you're touching on is a deeper reality that like, no matter what we do, God can either speak to us through absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Even if we're distracted and bored and hungry, he can speak, or no matter what we are doing, he cannot speak. You know, like it really is. It's that reality you just said, he is God and we are not. Okay, this is something I've been thinking about. Meg Hunter-Kilmer, I'm not sure if you know who she is. She's like the hobo for Christ. She's awesome. She's really cool. Speaker, she travels, she lives out of her car.
Oh, wow.
I actually think she's a campus minister at Notre Dame now. But anyways, I'm not sure how long that's been. Anyway, she talks about like showing up for prayer every single day. She does like a daily adoration hour, daily mass. She does everything. And she says, like, at some point she stopped expecting the God of the universe, right, to show up in prayer for her. And when he did, amazing. She loved it. Blessed. Beautiful. Yeah. But she was like, this isn't like a right I have just because I'm bride to this bridegroom. It's not like human, because I would be annoyed if my husband never showed up and I'd be like, excuse me, I have a right to your presence. Yes. That's human because we are both humans.
Yes.
But to the divine bridegroom, it's not like I have a right to capture you in this certain presence. And she said, what if this is just like from heaven's point of view, from God looking down, he is giving me the gift of the suffering that I feel alone all the time. And then when I meet him, when I die, he'll say,
wow.
She said something like, baby girl, every single day for 40 years, you continue to show up and I gave you nothing and you kept showing up. Like how much that amazes the heart of God that we would choose him even when there's no quote reason to continue to choose him.
Yeah.
It's like, he's giving us an opportunity to give him a gift. Mm-hmm. And the gift is faith, you know? But we, I mean, at least me, I see it as punishment. I'm like, what did I do wrong? You know? And to be honest, looking here back at chapter 3, Song of Songs, I can see she has, in a sense, does something wrong. At least, well, I guess not in chapter 3 yet, but she's going to do something wrong by not getting up. You know, so I'm like, it is her fault. But like,
I know
that's not really it in the spiritual life. It's not, I mean, yes, with sin, we cut off our relationship with God. We push him away totally. But this withdrawal that he does from her, it's almost like to show her that she can't take him for granted. And honestly, it's like, I don't know, distance make the heart grow fonder. Like she suddenly is calling him whom my soul loves. She says that four times here. She's like getting more and more desperate. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed what I had. Now I want him more. Like the desire is increasing. So I don't know. I don't know. It's not like he's trying to trick her into like, oh, you'll love me more if you realize what you had and it's gone. You know, it's not that, but I don't know.
Yeah, just some musings. Really beautiful. Yeah. For him to let the desire, or when you said the gift of faith, like the gift of faith can grow because we're actually put in a position where we need to have faith.
Mm-hmm. Right. Otherwise we wouldn't. It's like from the book Kisses of Katie. She's like, she's describing this desperate situation she found herself in. She grew up in America. She moves to Uganda. She experiences real poverty trying to feed her children. And she said, for the first time in my whole life, I didn't have a plan B. Mm. And I realized that if God doesn't come through with me with this prayer, I'm asking, Lord, please feed me tomorrow, then I will not be fed. I don't have a mother to call. I don't have, you know, I can just run down the street. Like, I'll pray this prayer, but I hope that, you know, I'll provide for myself. If you don't, it's like full on faith. And we, in this day and age, do not often experience that because we don't let ourselves be put in the position.
Yeah.
So here's like a minor way that God lets us be put in the position to experience that and to feel that dependency on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. Because anyways, sorry, I feel like I've got a lot of half thoughts tonight.
I feel like this really broke down this verse in a way that is very tangible.
Yeah,
right, I think before I was like, gosh, I just don't really like this verse.
And I still don't like it. I'm like, ah, like she leaves. But then, yeah, you're right. In verse 4, here he is. He's back. Hardly had I left them, the watchman, and I found him. And I held him and I would not let him go, which again is like Mary Magdalene, right? He's like, don't hold on to me.
I know. But it also reminds me of Peter and his confidence.
Okay.
Like, I found you. Now I can hold you. Now you're not going.
Right.
Before I told you you can roam, now I'm
going to take you to my mother's house. I'm going to lock you up.
Yes.
Francis de Sales also laughs at that, apparently, that the bride thinks she can control him.
Yes.
He's like, silly bride.
I know. It's like, well, I think what Jesus was trying to teach you there, maybe we didn't.
We didn't learn.
yet. But how often is that us?
I know. We're like, I got it. I must have done something great because I got it back in prayer. Now I'll be holy. It's like, no. He withdrew. Now he's back. That's all on him.
Yes. It's still all him.
Okay. But the mother's house piece. Talk about this.
I thought that was interesting because it was brought back to the conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 when he says, what do you mean I have to be reborn again?
Can I go back into my mother's
womb? Yeah, I can't go back to my mother's womb. And so she says this so that she can be bride and daughter.
Oh, wait. Wow, I did not realize that. Okay.
It's for her to become daughter again.
Mm.
Because she doesn't want to just be bride.
She wants the left hand holding the head from the left. Hand.
Yes, so the daughter comes back into play. Which is, I don't like, it is incredible the amount of ways we relate to God. We're bride, we're daughter, or son, and then we're also sister or brother.
And friend.
Because of the incarnation.
Yeah, right.
And then friend.
It's like we're all. What?
We're all.
But it's just that all of those are imperfect analogies for what we actually are.
Yeah.
You know, so yes. The human constructs of it, you can't be both of those things at the same time. It's weird.
Yes. We're thinking to be about daughter it and bride.
Right.
Well, like, a little bit strange.
Uh-oh. But it's not. It's just that our analogies are imperfect for who God actually is. But it's like the best word is like family. Like, yes. Which sounds like a dull word for that. Like we are family with God.
We're family with God.
In multiple ways.
Yes.
I don't know. I also like to think about like Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, the mother of Jesus, the daughter of the Father. I'm like, okay, she's got it neat and tidy up in there.
Does.
Like maybe we can all just adopt that. Like,
basically what Mary is. Well,
but we're not mother.
We're not mother. We'll never be mother.
No.
Except in an earthly sense.
Mother of little Jesuses.
Mother of little Jesuses.
Now we're just jumping off the deep end. Okay, wait, but there's another thing here. The mother's house. Okay, mm-hmm. so until, this is verse 4 at the end, I brought him home to my mother's house to the chamber of her who conceived me is actually a reference to Jerusalem, okay? Her mother's house is Jerusalem temple, okay? And I don't, to be honest, remember exactly how you get there. I think it's the idea of like my homeland, my mother's land, Jerusalem, the motherland, you know, whatever. And then the house of my homeland, the biggest house, God's house, the temple. Okay. This is from the Cantata of Love. I guess I'm summarizing poorly. But then the chamber within the mother's house, the deep chamber in which she conceived me. Okay. The chamber of love, the holy of holies. Mm-hmm. So she's talking about bringing him back to, it's back to intimacy, you know? Yeah. So she's kind of grasping at him and saying, you know, back to the Holy of Holies. You know, her desire is sincere.
Yes.
She's kind of trying to grab onto him, you know? And then who do you have in your version here following the USCCB NAB? We've got the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
I think saying, I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not awaken a stir of love.
Yes, I have the bridegroom.
Okay, he usually does say that. Okay. So yeah, the bridegroom responds with like, I'm being patient. Do not awaken or stir up love before it's ready. Does this mean she falls asleep again?
She does rest again.
Okay.
And it's kind of like him being like, the spirit is strong.
But the flesh is weak.
The flesh is weak. Which, I'm sure we all can relate to the amount of times we've been so convicted. Maybe at the beginning of Lent.
Yes.
We were like, so convicted. And
30
now
days later.
We need to be reconvicted.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
Yes.
It also makes sense, too, for why verse 6 becomes so weird. You're like, what?
Yes.
Because she fell asleep. You have to realize the breaks here. And the Cantata of Love calls this next section the wedding procession. Mm-hmm. Because, again, he has departed and now he's coming back. This kind of feels like chapter 2 again. Who is this coming up from the desert like columns of smoke? This is the chorus speaking and they're showing, they're narrating what's happening. That the bridegroom is coming back in this litter. Like a procession, a wedding procession, a victory procession, a war procession, all these things. And the Cantata calls this the summer of the wedding. So here he comes to wed her.
Yeah.
Any thoughts here on 6, 7, 8, 9, all these things here?
All of these things. Who is this coming up from the desert? The who is this is a question that God reveals to man a lot. Like you see it in the burning bush. Who is this? The column of smoke, the smoke on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
It's always him, like, kind of, like, revealing himself in the Old Testament in these, like, big ways.
Okay, cool.
And they're who is this? And it also reminds me of the gospel when they're like, who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? Like, we know his father.
Yeah.
Like, so even, like, Jesus gets this question, like, who is this? Who does a man think that he is?
Right. Yeah. It's like we want to know him. We've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, we're like, this is different.
Yeah, so who is this?
Yeah.
With smoke.
And we can't comprehend it, really.
Yeah.
And the daughters are kind of like the foreign nations.
Okay, cool.
Too,
okay,
being cool. Like, we want to understand more of what is going on.
Yep.
And like in the previous chapters, the bride's like inviting the daughters like in to the wedding feast. Yeah. So what else do you have?
Okay, so let me try to introduce this concept here that I want you to build on. But this is crazy. This is from Cantata of Love, that from 7, 8, 9, 10, hear all these verses. It's describing like Solomon's procession, but it is directly not saying Solomon himself, because it's insinuating that the bridegroom is the new Solomon.
Yes.
Okay. So this is called the Song of Solomon. It gets confusing. You're like, oh, it's about Solomon. He's the main character. That's actually not really true. You know, maybe literally it's about the Shulamite woman and, and Solomon. It's maybe a wedding gift poem given to them. But look at the language here, especially in verse 7. And yeah, Katie, I see you're looking in Cantata. Maybe you can back me up with some lines here in a minute, but because you're going to say it better than I will. But see, it is the litter of Solomon. But it doesn't say Solomon. Look, it is Solomon. It's the litter of Solomon. But who's inside? And it says 60 valiant men surround it. Doesn't say 60 valiant men surround him.
Yep.
Like, where is Solomon? Doesn't say he's there. And then later it says in verse 9, King Solomon made himself an enclosed litter of wood from Lebanon. So, you know, it's talking about King Solomon made an enclosed litter, but it doesn't say that he is physically there in the procession coming. It just, it feels like it's speaking around the fact that King Solomon's there. And then again in verse 11, go out and look upon King Solomon in the crown with which his mother has crowned him. This is the first time it actually names him as if he's there. And we'll point forward to Jesus is the new King Solomon in the crown with which his mother has crowned him. Think about Jesus' mother, Mary, in the office of Queen Mother, which King Solomon established for Bathsheba, in which she co-rules with him. She has crowned him. What does Mary have to crown Jesus with? The only thing she has that he does not to offer him is her humanity. Okay, so the crown with which she crowns him is humanity. So here he is, a human king on the throne, on the day of his marriage, on the day of the joy of his heart. So here he is, the new King Solomon, coming on this litter. It's like the revelation of his majesty. The fact that, you know, this girl, this Shulamite woman, the bride, she thought she was dating a shepherd. I mean, that's exaggeration. But, you know, she's talking about the shepherd and the tents. And then here he is. He's in majesty. She's with the king. And he's on this throne. And it's like the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, there's it is like a big deal. And then it's like his coronation day, and here he comes, and he sits down on his throne to be crowned, and they're waiting for him to give this speech of, you know, here's the new King Solomon.
Yeah.
And the words that he says are words of love to her, the bride. His enthronement speech is a sonnet of love to his bride, to you, to me. Like, what? Okay, but anyways, there are so many gaps in here. Fill us in, Katie.
Wow. Help me out here. Well, what you're saying just made me realize. So we were talking earlier about how, so this kind of foreshadows Jesus's entry into Jerusalem.
Yes. Okay.
And so you have all these people being like, Hosanna, Hosanna, like the king's coming. What's the first thing that Jesus does when he enters Jerusalem? He gives this beautiful sermon of love to his apostles.
Oh, the Last Supper.
At the Last Supper.
Oh my gosh, in John, so many chapters are on.
So many chapters of him just speaking
like,
all
of
these words.
Be comforted, the comforter's coming for you,
yeah.
And the world will hate you, but I've overcome the world. All this stuff, all these promises.
All these promises.
I prepared a place for you.
Yeah.
It is really a loving sermon, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow. So it's like, oh my gosh, wait, it's like chapter 4.
Yes, like
wait,
chapter
4. Let's
just
flip to chapter 4 for just a second, just a sneak peek. How beautiful you are, my friend. How beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats. I mean, he says all these loving things to his apostles, and then he gets down and he washes their feet.
Yes.
I mean, like, and this is actually, he's doing his covenant on Holy Thursday. He begins his covenant with the Last Supper, which is the first mass. And it's a bridegroom covenant. And just like in the Mosaic covenant, when there were 12 tribes having the wedding feast with him, now there's 12 apostles representing the 12 tribes, and the wedding feast is the Last Supper, and the consummation, the marriage bed, is the cross.
Yes.
So he is doing the bridegroom thing. This is crazy.
Yes, and it just came to me, so I was like, I feel like this is more important.
I did not put that together, but the entrance to Jerusalem. So here it is in chapter 3, the entrance to Jerusalem, the beginning of the wedding. Here he comes.
Here he comes.
Wow, I never thought about the fact that Jesus coming to Jerusalem comes as bridegroom.
He comes as bridegroom.
Like, Like, and you know what? Like King Solomon, King Solomon rode on a donkey into Jerusalem.
Oh, I did not know
Yeah,
that.
he did. Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
Yes.
Zephaniah 9:9 says the new Messiah will do the same thing as King Solomon did. Here he
Wow.
comes. Which, like, why did King Solomon do that? Because
That's, I know, that is very interesting why he did
because he had like litters and what? But he did do that, so
Yes.
probably means something.
Yeah, and then like how it says perfumed with myrrh.
Okay, yes.
It's like, wow, like Jesus was perfumed with myrrh with the alabaster jar
Yeah.
before going into Jerusalem.
Okay, yes. Do you want to skip to that? Talk about this. It's the nard couplet of chapter
Okay,
four.
I don't know this part.
Okay, wait, no, but say what you were saying. Why is he perfumed?
He's perfumed because he's going to his. She knows that he's going to his burial. So he's
Yes.
being prepared.
And so whoever this is who does it, Mary Bethany. I
Yeah.
think it's Mary Bethany. I think actually we're sure it's Mary Bethany. But this is like the same, it's like the Saturday.
Yeah.
He dies on the Friday. So on Saturday, he goes and says goodbye to Mary, Martha, Lazarus. He has dinner with them. She washes him. He is dumped with like a liter of perfume on his head.
Which, can you imagine what that
That's
smelled
so
like?
much. Exactly.
Like, no one would not know that that was dumped on him.
Like he's probably sitting on this donkey, emanating this
Yes.
smell, okay, to all far and near. And he smells like this all throughout the week. He probably did not shower. It was common. And on the cross, he's sweating, he's bleeding, he smells like perfume.
Yeah.
And you know what the perfume
Wow.
is nard. Nard
Yeah.
is the same thing we find here in the Song
Yeah.
of Songs. It's the perfume of a wedding night. It's like the special stuff you put on when you're about to get married. It smells
Yeah.
like consummation. You know where I'm going with this? Like
Yes.
it is a specific smell. The people are not just like, oh, he smells nice. They're like, he smells like he's gonna get married.
Yeah.
He smells like the bridegroom, and he goes and does the bridegroom thing. That's crazy. Yeah, and all because Mary Bethany, her devotion
Or
and her
just her love
love
for him.
poured out.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Wow, I didn't even know what we were gonna go to all those places, so praise the Lord.
I just feel like this little procession from verses 6 to 11 is so much more meaningful now
Yes,
to
I
me.
agree.
I feel like it just, here comes Jesus coming to be my bridegroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really don't know if I have much to add to that.
That's about it. I think that's a lot to process
Yeah.
going into. Yeah, it's just so beautiful, I think, that we're doing this during Lent.
Yeah, it really fits.
It really, I would never have put it together, but now that we're doing it, I'm like, oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, so the original inspiration to do this during that actually came from actually Father Pat Schultz. If you know him, you love him. Slaking Thirst is his podcast. I'll put in the show notes. But anyways, he has this thing I've heard him say multiple times, and honestly, I can't figure out where he found this piece of research. I'll have to ask him. But he said that on the day of Passover, on the Friday of Passover, in the Jerusalem temple, the priests do this thing. It's just kind of part of the custom, part of the rite, when the lambs are being slain, that they sing or chant the Torah. Okay? The whole
Yeah.
day, there's like a choir of them chanting the Torah from the beginning to the end, which at that point was Genesis through, I don't even know what,
Yeah.
Malachi? Like,
Where it ended.
where, yeah, I don't know what books. Some canons took some books in and out, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're not going to talk about that. But at the 12 o'clock hour, when the lambs started getting slain in Jerusalem, the song they would have sung from the Torah just at the time of day would have been the Song of Songs.
Wow.
And the Song of Songs is being audibly sung. Jesus is dying outside the Jerusalem gates when the lambs are dying, with the Song of Songs being sung audibly for like
Wow.
an hour as he's on the cross. Like it is connected.
That is amazing.
It's the heart. It's the and the Holy of Holies is torn at his death. The Song of Songs is the Holy of Holies of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Lent is not punishment. It is romantic.
Yeah,
But
wow.
romantic love of God does not look like human romantic comfort, lovey, chocolates. It looks like suffering.
Yeah.
And, of course, consolation and
In
love
consolation, in both, it's both. Levitating,
levitating.
that's new. I'll let you know when that happens for me.
Katie is levitating right now. You can't see her, but
I
I'm
can't
talking to her on the
see
ceiling.
her.
Anyways, we pray that you guys have an amazing week of Lent.
Yes.
You dive deeper with the bridegroom. Catch those foxes. I guess
Yes.
that was from last week,
That's
wasn't
last
it?
week.
Keep catching them.
Yep.
And here he comes, processing in to see you. So,
God bless.
bye.